This is the Permission to Write podcast, and I'm your host, Ashley M. Coleman, author of Good Morning Love. Join us each week as writers discuss more than writing. You'll hear from me as well as the occasional guest on craft, publishing, life, and culture. We hope you enjoy the show. All right, welcome to another episode of the Permission to Write podcast. I hope that you have been enjoying season two so far. It's really been a pleasure to put together these episodes for you all. And writing is really something that I can geek out about and talk about for hours with zero shame. So I want to invite you all to do the same with me this week. So a few housekeeping things to get out of the way. If you're unfamiliar with Permission to Write, we are a membership community that believes in community and accountability over competition. So our members receive weekly emails on craft, a private forum to chat, access to our full video archive, and much more. So if you're looking for a writing community to be a part of, a place where you can sit with us, and you're looking for community and an alternate route to publishing, then be sure to check out more about us. Also, if you've been enjoying this podcast, make sure you like, rate, and subscribe, okay? You can't explain how important this stuff is for platforms to try to grow. So please, if you're listening faithfully, which I know some of you are, we see the analytics, take a second to write a thought, review, or most importantly, subscribe so that you're up to date on new episodes as they come, okay? So that is the housekeeping. Without further ado, we'll get into it, starting with this week in publishing. So this week in publishing, the Penn World Voices Festival has been canceled following months of escalating protests over its response to Israel's war on Gaza. And just 4 days on from the cancellation of its annual literary awards, embattled free expression organization Penn America has now also announced the cancellation of its World Voices Festival. So with that being said, also the literary ceremony was canceled as well. It was previously scheduled to be held actually on April 29th. Although some awards will still be conferred, there actually won't be a ceremony. So lots of things going on here, especially in the literary world and in regard to what we're doing here, what is happening in the world. So big stuff there. The next thing is just Bookwire, the Frankfurt-based digital book distribution and production platform, has partnered with US-based Aptera, a provider of publishing solutions and digital data analysis, to share expertise. So the partnership involves establishing and enhancing best practices for ebook conversion, pre-press work, metadata creation, production, and global distribution for application through Bookwire. So I will make sure to link to all those stories. And then last but not least, Viola Davis and husband Julian Tenen launched their own publishing company. The couple has partnered with the publisher Lavelle Levette to launch JVL Media, an independent publishing company that aims to deliver uniquely curated titles to a global readership. So we'll link to all the stories, and we love to hear about more imprints coming about and hope that it creates more and more opportunities for diverse writers. So jumping into this week's Given the Option, we're casting Black Candle Women by Diane Brown this week. So this will be made into a film. So it has been optioned, and I am speaking to into existence that it will also be greenlit because Diane deserves, and it would be so amazing to see it with her on the big screen. So this is a big cast of women here, right? It gives me so much of Eve's Bayou vibes, which turned out to be a stacked cast. We had Journey Smollett, Megan Good, the powerhouses of Lynn Whitfield, Samuel L., and Debbie Morgan. I would say that I could see maybe Alfre Woodard in this role of Augusta. I think you would have to age her a bit, of course, but I love when Alfre is just a little bit unhinged. It's so good when she is, because she plays a lot of straight-up characters. Marcy Martin could definitely be a great Nikki, though she is growing fast. It's hard to catch these kids in that space. So you would have to get her while she could still play 17. But we know that actors tend to play a lot younger than they are all the time. So I think it would work.
And then for Victoria, who is kind of the main, she's the main sister that actually has her life together, is what I'm trying to say here. Like, she's the main sister with her life together in the story, at least from the outward looking in. So I'm thinking maybe like a Ryan Michelle Bath. I feel like a lot of people popped up for me in thinking about this role, but I could see maybe her playing this. Also, Willow was giving me hot auntie. So I don't know, anyone like Sharon Leal or Nicole Beharie, someone in that space. And then to me, they could give relation to like Ryan Michelle. So those were some of my initial thoughts. For their actual mom, though, I was having a little bit of trouble because Augusta is their grandmother, actually. So I was thinking maybe a Lynn Whitfield could work. You know, Madeline, who is the mother in the story, is a reformed addict. And I'm not sure I've really seen Miss Whitfield play that type of character. She definitely was unhinged in A Thin Line Between Love and Hate. But I don't know. I think her as a reformed addict could be interesting. But what do you think? Listen, I'm just throwing things out here, but you all tell me, who would you cast in Black Candle Women? There's also a couple male roles too. So January, Russell, and Felix. So I would love to know what you all think about who you would cast in the story. So in this week's episode, getting into our salon topic, we are actually going to talk about close third person narrative. And we're still talking about Black Candle Women because we're going to use this as our reference text. As you know, we'll do some episodes where we're reading like a writer. So this means that we'll dive into a text and talk about the things that we can actually glean from that story. It is an amazing way to really build up your own writing skill. Is something I've done. I read ferociously, and I figure out how to apply those things to my own work. So getting into it, we'll stick with Black Candle Women, and we'll be chatting about alternate perspectives and the close third person point of view. I always feel like it's a big decision to know what perspective you want to write in. And sure, there tend to be some patterns depending on genre, but ultimately there are no rules, right? When I was first writing Good Morning Love, I forgot what the original perspective was, but one of my earliest readers, my good friend Gigi Renee, immediately gave me the feedback that it should be present tense and first person. Specifically in romance, in the romance genre, we do often see first person present tense. But I tend to believe that the story does tell you what it needs. And now whether we listen or not is another story. I needed someone to kind of point it out for me. But I think that I didn't have to be beholden just to the genre, but exactly what would make the best decision for the story. So most recently, I even asked another friend of mine what tense their rom-com was in, because I felt like so many rom-coms are in first person, but I was writing one in third person. So, well, her response was that she was also writing in third person because there were things that she needed to show about the character that she wouldn't necessarily reveal about herself. So if we were only getting that main character's point of view, and I felt very similarly. So just in that quick setup, you can see how important it is that I'm making the case for community, right? The fact that you have people to ask these types of things, that you could talk about craft, it's so important to be able to connect with other writers and just kind of get a feel for what you're actually doing. So before I get too much deeper into why we make the choices that we make, I wanted to just highlight what perspectives are real quick, right? So it's not English class, but I think it'll be helpful to set a little bit of a foundation here. So the common POVs include first person, right? This is from the narrator's perspective, meaning you are going to say, I did, we did, I went. And then you have second person, which I will say is probably not as prevalent in literature, but hey, go wild, you know, do something different if you want. But second person is written as if it's from the reader's perspective, almost like an invisible character. So you would say more like, you did, you went, right? That would be your approach. And then third person tends to have two subsets that are pretty popular, which are limited and omniscient. Just excuse me, because I have to say that more than once. and so a limited perspective is tied very closely to one character at a time, which is what we'll discuss with Black Candle Women today. And then there is the, it's the all-knowing. I don't want to keep having to stumble over this word, but it's the all-knowing narrator who is almost like another character that knows what everyone is thinking. So there's two different ways to really approach third person. It's the limited perspective, like that limited POV that's very close to the character, but in third person. And then there's that all-knowing narrator that's going to know what everybody is thinking. So in addition to these points of view, you have tense, right? And tense is different than our actual perspective. So you're either going to be writing in present or past tense. And one of the most common perspectives in book writing is third person past tense. But there's all this stuff that you can do in between, right? So this is some of the work of writing that tends to happen off of the page. And so sure, you may start writing just to kind of get your ideas out. But if you don't pick something to stick to, you may find yourself veering in and out of tenses and perspectives, which you don't want to do. And sometimes we do by accident. So it would behoove you to stop and think about what perspective you actually want to approach your story in, even if you've started writing already, just to make sure that your story actually stays anchored in some type of way. So selecting the right perspective really, to me, depends on the story. And please take all this with a grain of salt, because none of us know what we're doing, right? This is just sharing a lot of what we, how we approach things, how I approach things, and what I've seen. So I think you will have to evaluate what is going to be the best way to get the story across that you want to tell. So you have to think about the limitations of each perspective. So for instance, third person can sometimes create less intimacy. We're farther away from the action in a sense, because it's being recounted to us, and a third person view can create a little separation between the reader and what's actually happening in the story. First person is limiting in its own way because it's only showing how one person is feeling. But it does put you right into the action as if you're experiencing everything like the character does. So one is not better than the other. You're just going to get different things from different perspectives. So when we look specifically at Black Candle Women, it follows multiple women within the story: Augusta, Willow, Victoria, and Nikki. So we get their multiple perspectives in a limited third person point of view. By choosing the alternate perspectives, we get more intimacy with each of the characters than maybe we would get with the all-knowing narrator. So starting with multiple perspectives, there are a couple important things about this choice. One is it's an ensemble cast. So remember where I mentioned that sometimes the story will tell you what it needs? Well, it's clearly a bit easier to do an alternating perspective when you have a larger cast of characters, so that the reader doesn't get lost, because we're kind of in each character alternating between chapters. And so with that, it's important to make sure that you're keeping the story moving forward through each character's chapter. It should feel seamless and not like we're repeating storylines every time we go to a new character, unless that's its own choice that you're making, right? Like they're all recounting the same event. You might want to make that choice. However, if you're actually just trying to write a very cohesive story, you want to make sure that the action keeps moving through these different characters. So it may seem obvious, but it's also key to stick to that one perspective throughout the chapter once you've decided to do this limited perspective. So you'd be surprised how easy it could be to jump around unknowingly, but you want to make sure that if you've made that choice, that you're kind of in it within that chapter that's designated from that person's perspective. So what I also feel like Diane does well here is her ability to distinguish between the characters through their dialogue. We know exactly who is speaking when we're in each chapter, and certain word choice, by certain word choice, cadence, maybe someone might speak using run-on sentences while someone else uses short phrases. Small devices help us to say, okay, this is X character, and it's subtle, but you can easily get bored when everyone sounds the same. I think Diane did an awesome job of distinguishing each of their viewpoints, especially with Nikki, who is a teenager and would certainly look at things unfolding in the story much differently than her mom, aunt, and great-grandmother. So Augusta also doesn't speak, right? So that means that we get to see this other perspective as well as someone who gets to absorb what's happening, but does not actually interact in the same way as the other characters. Outside of a tablet where she may hurl out a curse word or two, she is not an extremely vocal character because of her health limitations in the story. So I thought it was so fascinating how Augusta has her own chapters, but it's so interesting for Diane to write it in a way where we're getting to observe all the goings on through someone who's not necessarily engaging with the other characters in the same way. So I wanted to read a little bit from the actual book for you all. And this is from Augusta's chapter. It's just going to be a short passage here. So Augusta wasn't a fan of all of Victoria's clients. Many of them ignored her, not even glancing toward the family room as they stepped inside and headed for the reception. Yet there were those who waved, blew her kisses, remembered her birthday when it came around. Her favorites went out of their way to greet her every visit, coming over to say hello, despite the sign directing clients elsewhere. One of these new favorites was a man named Russell, who'd even gone so far as kissing her hand when he first introduced himself. A little old school, even in Augusta's opinion. But still, she found it charming. Since the first meeting, she'd sneak a look at the daily schedule to make sure she was downstairs in time for his appointments. Noticing his name earlier this morning, she'd been inspired to change her hairstyle, letting it hang long over one shoulder, giving him her best side when he entered. He was a nice-looking cat, a tender face, and a telegenic smile. So I just think this is so funny. One, Augusta kind of sneaking around into Victoria's things, checking the schedule to see who's coming, and then doing these small things to try to make herself appealing when she's like this great-grandmother, you know, trying to actually make herself attractive for one of Victoria's clients. So again, we get that different perspective of Augusta, who's really just seeing everything unfold around her. It was also interesting in the book of Diane's choice that Madeline, who is Victoria and Willow's mother, who returns midway through the book, never really receives her own perspective. So in chatting with Diane, fortunately, with that, which I got the opportunity to do, we don't normally get the chance to talk to authors about their books. It was based on the fact that she just didn't want to complicate the story more, which is a perfectly good reason to limit the amount of perspectives. So you're going to have a lot of people in the book, but it's really important to hone in on whose perspectives we actually need, specifically with a larger cast of characters. But with this choice, we still feel Madeline's presence through the eyes of each of the main characters of the story. So we don't lose anything from her not having chapters that are particularly named for her. And I think Diane did that so well. So I'll read another small passage from Victoria's chapter that actually includes her mother, Madeline. The call came on Madeline's 2-month anniversary as receptionist. Victoria had brought her into the office for a probationary evaluation. She'd never reviewed anyone before, but she'd been able to track down sample forms used by corporations and government agencies to assess their employees' work. She pulled the components she liked most from these forms to build her own, even branding it with a logo she created herself. Madeline sat tall, hands on her lap, wearing a pretty floral top she must have purchased online specifically for their meeting. She had on lipstick and blush, yet had decided not to brush her hair. One side of her do still flattened from sleep, the other an untamed bundle of 3-day-old curls. She could count on it, Madeline's inconsistency. So how do you think you're doing, Madeline? How would you rate yourself overall? You mean if I had to give myself a grade? Victoria shrugged, writing her mother's first and last name on the top of the form as if there were dozens of other employees to evaluate. The two of them hadn't spoken about their mission to confront January a few weeks back, and she was pleased that she hadn't needed to warn Madeline not to bring it up. No one else in the family had to know what Victoria had done. Though Madeline had stepped up after Willow's departure, she hadn't fully redeemed herself, and maybe she couldn't from Victoria's perspective, but she sure was trying. Victoria had to give her that. Sure, give yourself a grade. So this is a chapter a lot deeper into the book, but I think it's so easy to understand what Victoria feels about her mother, right? Like, we understand that Madeline is inconsistent. She was this absent mother. And even though she's kind of showing back up and trying to be a better mom, some of these things still remain in, like, the fact that she didn't brush the other side of her hair. But we also get to see that Madeline kept Victoria's secret on snooping on Willow's boyfriend, January. So we understand that maybe this is a true turning point for Madeline, regardless of her past. And we get that with this simple passage within Victoria's chapter. All these things work together when it comes to writing books. It can feel like so much hangs on just character and plot, but things like perspective and tense can enhance all those things within a story. So ensuring that we've made the right choice to tell our story can certainly help bolster all the other work that we do in plot, in character development, to really create an interesting story. So if you're still feeling unsure about what your work, what tense your work in progress should be in, and what perspective you should be approaching, try a couple different scenes in different points of views and see what feels best to you. Don't be afraid to experiment. This is all creativity, by the way. So don't forget about that fact that as much as there's rules and guidelines and things that feel right to us, that it is a creative process to write stories. And what an amazing opportunity that is to just make up stories for a living. How amazing. So I hope that you got something out of that. That is our show for today. And I hope that you'll tune in next week for another episode of the podcast. I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Permission to Write podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. Plug into our community that works to cultivate and amplify the voices of Black writers and writers of color by visiting permissiontowrite.com. We'll see you next time.